This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight! Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. Folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast. We want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello, Disney Nerds. This is show number 279 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Morgan here, and we are doing round two of March Dining Madness. And I got my colorful characters here with me tonight. First, we have Lisa. Lisa, how's it going?
Great, Morgan. How are you tonight?
I am good. And, of course, we can't forget Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good. Yeah, we're talking food. And finally, last but certainly not least, we've got Sam.
Hello, Morgan. What's happening?
Well, we're ready to talk food. You know,
we're going to talk food, but I, you know, if you guys have not been out to the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com lately, the news is just flying off the shelves, from Captain Marvel to Disney Plus streaming to the dates for Galaxy's Edge to a fond farewell to Epcot. Ron John's coming to Disney Springs. You guys got to check out the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com because we have so much to talk about, but yet we're in the middle of Dining Madness 2019. Where do we go, Ed? What do we do?
I tell you what, we got to start talking about some of this because I'm bursting. There's so much great news out there. And I tell you what, Galaxy Edge has got to be leading the pack. We had the stockholders meeting this week, and they announced the dates for the opening of the Disneyland and the Walt Disney World Galaxy's Edge parks.
And I lost my bet because I thought that there's no way they're making that announcement during an earnings call, right? This is Disney, the Disney company, right, where ESPN Plus and Disney Plus and Marvel movies, and there's so much on Bob Iger's docket that to announce the dates for an attraction opening, that's unprecedented. They've never done that before.
Well, it was kind of cool. First time I listened to a full stockholder meeting, and it was great. Bob starts it out, and he says hello to everybody and gets everybody psyched with a couple of videos. Then he gives it to the lawyers to talk all the lawyer talk. And they do that for about 20 minutes.
That's exactly how it works.
And
it makes you wonder, do they want you to start listening to the stockholder meeting? Was this their way to get people to listen to that call?
I listen to it all the time.
Well, sure. And it's all advertising because it's only going to be good news. So that's great. And then Bob came back on for the big announcements, all the different things that we heard about. And Star Wars Galaxy Edge was the biggest. Disneyland's going to be opening up May 31st. And
I believe that's accurate, yes.
And Walt Disney World is going to be opening up. And now get this. It was supposed to be November sometime, August 29th.
Yeah, it was supposed to be late fall, and then it turned into fall, and that's a great thing. And we have a date, so I think people are scrambling. Now the project plan doesn't change anymore. It's locked in, right?
Sure. Now, I got to wonder, if it's August 29th, does that mean the park's going to be open, or at least that first attraction is going to be open a couple weeks even before that? The old soft openings, media events?
They might even do a pass holder event like they've done in the past, so you never know. But one thing I do like, it's going to be open for our meetup in November.
It will. We can have the meet in line while we wait.
It'll take the entire weekend to get into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
It might.
Right.
I think it's interesting, a few of the things that they said, right, because everybody jumped on all the dates are coming out, but then peel back the onion a little bit, and it's one attraction that's opening. We're going to get all of the dining locations, the quick services, which Disney Parks blog went through all of those details, which is another show later, from the milk stand where you get the blue milk or the green milk.
Right. Oh, no, it sounds all great.
It's all awesome, but there's one attraction opening, and at Disneyland, when it opens, you need to get a reservation to get into the land for the first 30 or 60 days, and they also tease that there will be no fast passes initially for Walt Disney World, which means it's rope drop time, kids, right?
Oh, I love it. I'm all for it. That's what I do all the time, so get in line.
I'd rather have my fast pass sleep in and show up, but that's not going to happen, at least initially. And it makes me think, okay, are there going to be some early morning pay admission things like they do at Toy Story? Was that kind of a setup for this?
They didn't do that right away, though, did they?
They didn't, but were they testing it for this? Because if they can commoditize or monetize it, you know that's what they're going to do. It's a company at the end of the day.
Sure.
Right. And you said before that the earnings calls are it's always good and fun when the numbers are good, which they are. But I've listened to some of those earnings calls in the past when the numbers aren't so good and there's shareholder lashback and Roy's trying to keep control of the board. And those are interesting in the archive to go back and listen to, by the way.
Right.
They're crazy. But anyway, it's Dining Madness.
And I'm going to be at baseline with a beer and a pretzel watching the crowds. That's
you could do that. I'm sure that Muppet Vision will have no line. You could jump in there. They might
Muppet Vision has no line now.
Well, yeah, they might use those cues. That's another show because there's the lines are going to be amazing to get in there. And the fact that the entrance way is getting redone. We saw some pictures recently of the gondolas. They're finally uncovered, and there's so much all coming together at one time. It's just nuts. And then Epcot, too, at the same time, everything happening there, which on the podcast, when we did the media event, we talked to some of the people there and the live streams of what's coming next in the Play Pavilion. And my mind just wants to blow up with the things that are happening down there. So it's cool.
It is very much so.
We always wondered what we'd need to talk about. So we come up with this tournament to talk about for 4 or 5 weeks in a row. So we got to get to that, right?
Right. Now, definitely. Now, real quick, too, before we start, I discovered something today that I did not know, and I'm kind of ashamed of it because this is some really cool swag that they have out here for this March Madness. Now, Disney, every year, merchandise releases logos that kind of match their own teams. And what they do is they put them out there on shirts and items you can buy that they look incredible. Quinn has Dreamfinders, and they got a picture of Figment with that mean football look on his face, or a basketball look, or a sports look. They had one for Waldorf and Stadler. Their team was called the Hecklers.
The Hecklers, yes.
And they had some incredible ones. I threw a couple of the pictures up on our Facebook page, and there's just some hilarious ones out there. The Starporters, the Space Mountain Starporters logo is great. Not too sure about that name, though.
I checked out the Haunted Mansion one. They've actually been doing that for a couple of years. I don't know exactly when they started.
Like 2015, I think we went back as far as Quinn and I were looking at it earlier. And
yeah, that sounds about right, because it was after we had done our first annual tournament, and it was kind of interesting to see that. Mm-hmm. And there was never an official bracket or contest, but it's just merchandise, which is cool.
Every year seemed to be different, where there was like 6 teams in one year, another year there was like 12 teams, and it keeps going back and forth. And again, the logos are out of this world, and if you have a really favorite ride, you're not going to see this anywhere else.
It's cool.
Yeah. Okay. On with the food.
I'm on with the food. I'm all for the monorail, the Bay Lakes. I thought that was. This is round 2 of Dining Madness 2019. This is the figure out who the Sweet 16 is. So we have half the matches to talk about that we did last time. So last time the show was around an hour. We had 32 matches. So we got to get moving. That's what we got to do, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we got to get moving. So Jimmy's not with us tonight. He's actually in the parks enjoying his last day. And that's where I'll be next week. But, you know, Jimmy, we miss you. Somebody's got his picks here, right?
Oh, I do.
All right, so Ed's got Jimmy's, and other than that, I think we're all set to go. To remind everybody what we have here, these are sit-down locations within Walt Disney World. We took the 90 restaurants, we whittled it down by taking out some of the dining shows, we took out the character meals, whittled it down to what we thought were the 64 best to represent the Walt Disney World Dining. We use touringplans.com, our partner, as for ranking of these restaurants. We've gone through the first 32 matches. This is the second round. There are 32 matches to get through now. We did 64, and that will get us down to the Sweet 16. So without sweet, exactly. So, let's see if there's any sweeps in the suite. Who knows? First round, who wants to go first? We need an order here, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right, so never first, need an order.
Rock, paper, scissors? Oh.
Absolutely. So let me start with this. Let's introduce this first one. The number one seeded Victoria and Alberts at Walt Disney World's Grand Floridian is going up against the 50s Primetime Cafe that's over in Hollywood Studios. And I think what I'm going to do right now is start our picks. Lisa, you're going to go first. And then I think our order is going to be Lisa, Morgan, Ed, and myself.
We also have our online guests who voted, so they're going to actually have a vote also, and our live Tuesday night crowd too, so they'll have their vote also.
Absolutely. Thanks for reminding me. So Lisa, Victoria and Alberts or the 50s Primetime Cafe, I believe you have two votes, one being your own and one being the Tuesday night live show, so I'll let you pick who you're going to go with first.
All righty. So for my vote, I went with 50s Primetime Cafe, and this was truly just out of having not experienced Victoria and Alberts. If I have to choose, I'll choose a casual Saturday versus a dressed-up Sunday and any day of the week there. And then I'm going to abstain from the live show vote in the hopes that it doesn't come down to it.
Oh, it must have been pretty darn close percentages-wise.
Yeah, percentages-wise, it was 50-50.
Oh, okay. So we're going to leave this at with Lisa for now. And Morgan?
I went Victoria and Alberts because I actually didn't think 50s was going to make it.
Interesting. All right. Ed, I'll let you go. Or you also have Jimmy's vote, right?
Correct.
And, okay, so you can pick whoever goes first here.
Yeah. So I will let Jimmy go first. And he took Victoria and Alberts. And I am also going to go Victoria and Alberts. And I was figuring, I'm going to take Victoria and Alberts because I know what the 50s primetime is like. And Victoria and Alberts was a meal that we had a long time ago that was great. I'm going to take a shot at the new one. And the way I'm going into this is that I figure the meal is going to be comped anyway for me testing out these restaurants. So I'm not going to worry about the price.
And
can I get the number to your accountant for next year's taxes if that's the case?
Exactly, because in this particular case, well, Jimmy went Victoria and Alberts, but you did tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys both did. So in this particular case, I've been at both of these. I have been to the 50s Primetime Cafe often. I've been to Victoria and Alberts exactly once for the Queen Victoria Room and a 10-course meal, which we've talked about before. If price is not an object, you know, it's Victoria and Alberts all the time for me. Although it is a commitment, and you got to know that going in, right? That's a 3.5-hour dining adventure that you're going on versus the 50s primetime, which I love too. I love that nostalgia, but the 50s really comes down to the person that you get and whether or not they're really playing along, and I think we've lost a little bit of that lately. It's like the Jungle Cruise. You're as good as your skipper. So for me, as much as I like the 50s, I'm going to go with Victoria and Alberts. Which gives us 1, 2, 3, 4 votes for Victoria and Alberts, which means the live show is really not going to matter. The online voters, now just so we know, this is this close. The online voters are 50s primetime, 65%.
Wow.
Which means it did not come down to the last vote. Victoria and Alberts is moving on to the next round, although we call it a tie. Or was it that close, Lisa? Or what do you want to do there?
For the live show vote?
Yeah, we just call it a push.
Victoria and Alberts moves on, and you call it an abstained vote.
All right, there you go. So that's not a sweep. Victoria and Alberts moves on. The 50s is an awesome place. Don't discount it at all.
Yeah, I mean, 50s is still, I think, one of my favorite places at Hollywood, so.
All right, moving on to the second matchup, which is the Plaza in the Magic Kingdom and Spice Road Table World Showcase at Epcot's. We'll start with Morgan for this one.
I have done both. They're both great places, but you cannot beat the food at Spice Roads. Like, there's no question, even as good of a location as the Plaza is, Spice Roads all the way.
Ed?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Spice Roads also. Basically the same reasons there. They're both good restaurants. I just like the extra bit of different Spice Road offers.
And Jimmy?
Same thing. for Ubisoft, all the same reasons, I'm sure.
How about that? Boom, boom, boom. All right, I'm going to go with myself first, Spice Road versus the Plaza. You mentioned my reasoning why I'm going with the Plaza, Morgan, and that's because of location. I just love the location. There's something about that place that I love the Plaza. It's down home. I don't know what it is about it. And actually, our website listeners agree with me, 62% with the Plaza. So the website also picks the Plaza, which means, Lisa, you have two votes. And based on those two votes, you can take this either way.
So my vote here was location and experience. I have not experienced Spice Road Table. I have experienced Plaza. I do love that location. I love the fact that I can get an ice cream sundae right there at the restaurant. And I went with Plaza.
Which means live shows doing a tie break here.
And this was close with 52% of the vote. Plaza took the victory.
My live show people. So between the website and the live show, you know, our listeners have spoken there, right? The Plaza moves on. Spice Road Table, I love inside Spice Road Table for Illuminations. I'll be completely honest. I think it's one of the best views in the park and maybe one of the easier ones to get.
View or not, Spice Roads, the food is amazing. Yeah.
They got a great lamb slider. I will give you that.
I had the lamb with coriander, and they had mint ice tea. Which was delicious. Like, I cannot wait until it's like a warm spring summer day. I am going to Spicer's just to get some of that tea. That's just a perfect hot day refreshing drink.
I get it. Can you get that at the bar? I'm assuming so. Just walk right in.
Yeah, I'm assuming so. Like, I even, and I've mentioned this before, I take a Tervis refillable cup with me when I walk around the parks. I poured the tea. I had them refill it, poured the tea in my refillable cup and walked around the park sipping on my tea the rest of the day.
Nice. Was that refillable cup one of the mason jars with moonshine originally? Could have been. We'll get to that. I'll leave that go because that location's coming up.
The history of drinks.
All right. So we'll move on to the third matchup here. The third matchup is the number 11 seeded Le Cellier restaurant in Epcot's World Showcase versus the number 3 seeded Grand Floridian Cafe over at the Grand Floridian.
No. I have to ask again, and let's remind our listeners, where did the rankings come from where Le Cellier is 11th
ranking? So the rankings, so we talked about this last week. We'll do it again. These came from touringplans.com based on their latest, most recent survey data from their readers. So that's the data that you'll hear others talk about. And it's some of it surprising. Le Cellier being number 11, for example, and the fact that, you know, Be Our Guest was also a number 11 seed, and that's based on current data. And we talked last show, this stuff changes all the time as far as our experiences and what we thought about things. And, you know, the 50s I mentioned, you know, it's out now, and I haven't had a really good experience like I had in the past. So this stuff changes.
Now, I do remember Len talking about this way back when in WDW Today. He would come on there every year with this survey. So I do get it. And it does go a lot with the chefs in the restaurants and the food service and things like that. So, okay, we're moving on.
Yep.
Just wanted to double check.
Absolutely. So 11 Le Cellier, number 3, Grand Floridian Cafe. I have to admit that I've not been to the Grand Floridian Cafe. I'm up first on this voting. Actually, I'm going to give this to our website first. And our website overwhelmingly went with the number 11 seed. 95% of the online vote went to Le Cellier. And myself also, I'm going to go with Le Cellier. You know, the cheddar cheese soup, the pretzel rolls, I love that location. I think it's great. Le Cellier. And with that, we go back to Lisa.
And then for me, I went with Le Cellier. And for our live show viewers, 72% Le Cellier.
So the viewers have spoken again, that's for sure. Morgan.
I have not done Le Cellier. I've done Grand Floridian. Even though we're early in this thing, I've always kind of been a big supporter of Grand Floridian. Just, in my opinion, great location. Nice place to kind of relax and have some great food and people watch all the people rushing around getting to the parks. So Grand Floridian is where I'm going, but I know I'm going to be outvoted.
Ed and Jimmy?
Yes, Morgan, you are correct. You will be outvoted. both of us went for Le Cellier, and I tell you what, the food is great. The atmosphere is incredible. You go downstairs into the basement of, I guess what we're representing is Quebec, and you are definitely in a stone, you know, wine cellar or whatever, and in having cellar, a great, right. great dinner.
So, Morgan, you've been to the Grand Floridian, and you like it. Where exactly is it? Because I haven't been there. Is this in the main lobby? You said you people watch. Where is it?
It's not really the main lobby. So when you first walk in, be it from the monorail or from the ground floor, if you walk towards the back, take a left. There's a little gift shop and a little hallway. You go past the gift shop.
Past Trader Sam's.
No, you're thinking Polly.
Oh, geez. Okay, sorry. You're right.
I mean,
Grand Floridian, over on the other side.
Unless there's a secret door I don't know about.
No. Sorry.
But yeah, you go past that little gift shop. I always call it the DVC gift shop because it has more of the stuff that the DVC people need, the food, sometimes the DVC merch. Yep. Down that little hallway. And hallway kind of opens up. There's doors to go outside. But then on the left is the Grand Floridian. It's also the back entrance to or exit to 1900 Park Fair.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's nice and open. Lots of windows. It's never really super crowded. So you don't have a lot of talking of all the other parties that are there. You can just kind of sit there. You watch the people that are outside going towards the monorail and towards the boats. And
to me, like I said, day kind of start. I get it.
Exactly. Cool. I do it for breakfast a lot. So that's, of course, when everybody's rushing to get to the parks.
Yep.
So.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to our next bracket here. That's four down and 12 to go here. All right, with the next one, we have the number 7, Raglan Road, up against the number 2, Sanaa. Lisa, I have you starting that one.
So this was an interesting setup for me because I did not have Raglan Road going on to the next round. I had Skipper making it out of the first round and out of the second round.
Oh, wow.
So
you're allowed to repick, though. You can reevaluate.
Yep. With this matchup, I did reevaluate, and I do have Raglan Road coming out of this, given the changes. I do have Raglan Road beating Sanaa. And then for the live show vote, this was a really, really tight race. When we say 52% went with Sanaa.
Wow, that is tight. Lisa's got one vote each. We will go to Morgan.
This was probably one of my tougher ones. These are probably on my top list of favorite restaurants, both of them. But they both have amazing food, but they're both different food. So I kind of went more experience and which one has a little bit more of my heart, which, you know, we talked about this last week, is Raglan Road.
Ed.
Now, this is one of those matchups that I've been to neither. And, however, the one I want to go to the most, the one I've heard the best about, is Raglan Road. So I picked that one. And Jimmy agrees with me, and he has been there.
So Jimmy goes Raglan Road as well. I am also going to pick Raglan Road. And, you know, it's interesting when it gets down to our listeners, both live show and the website, because, Lisa, you said it was close. It's 51% to 49%. Wow. Raglan Road for our listeners. That's how close this is. So that said, Raglan Road moves on. Sanaa, we've said before, there's no losers when it comes to dining madness, right? If anything, hopefully we've convinced you guys to try something maybe you hadn't tried before.
Right.
That next bracket, Ed, go on with the Hollywood Studios bracket here.
Okay. Now, the Hollywood Studio bracket was a really fun one for me. I really like most of the restaurants in this one, so it was really good comparing them. And the first one's kind of the start of that, where we have the Coral Reef Restaurant over at Epcot, which has that beautiful view of the aquarium, and you have the Yachtsman Steakhouse. We're going to start with the internet, friends. What are they saying?
We're going to start with the internet. The internet likes the Yachtsman Steakhouse 58% to 42%.
Nice. And how about you, Sam?
I love The Yachtsman. I like both of these places, let's be honest.
Sure.
Coral Reef I don't get to as often as I'd like because of where it is. There's so much in Epcot that I think this one gets lost because it's sort of out of the way. And quite honestly, if you're standing in World Showcase, the Yachtsman Steakhouse is closer than Coral Reef is. So from my point of view, I also am going to go with the Yachtsman Steakhouse.
Okay, that's two. Lisa?
Oh, for me, this was a no-brainer. The land salad, the truffle mac and cheese, the porterhouse for two was the Yachtsman all the way.
You know that menu well.
Land salad is beautiful.
A little too well, I'm not going to lie to you.
Nice. She has a picture of it saved on her phone.
I do.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope. And just as my vote is locked in, the live show went the complete opposite direction. They loved themselves the Coral Reef with about 77% of the vote.
Wow. Big move. Okay, Morgan, how about you?
I have not done Yachtsman. I've done Coral Reef. But that being said, I actually voted Yachtsman just because I hear so many good things about it, and I just want to do strategy on this one and try to pick the one everybody else is going to pick.
Gotcha. Well, I tell you what, four is going to take it, and Jimmy and I aren't going to even hurt that one because we both took the Coral Reef, which I'm sad to see go away. Yachtsman moves on.
It's tough. There's nothing wrong with the Coral Reef. I love every once in a while you get to see Mickey in there, which is just great.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. And being able to actually order the grouper and watch like his cousin swim by is just crazy.
It's the obvious joke in there now, isn't it?
And I purposely looked for non-seafood dishes when I'm at Coral Reef because I just don't want to have a fork full of fish and just see, you know, his brother swim by and be like, he tastes yummy. And lemon,
you just make the guys in the tank just feel that much luckier. Okay, guys, we're moving on to the next one. And we have Olivia's Cafe. Where's that again?
That is at Key West.
Okay.
And Old Key West, a DVC favorite.
Nice. Going against the Hollywood Brown Derby over at Hollywood Studios. We're going to start this one with Lisa.
All right. So for me, this was a no-brainer. This was Hollywood Brown Derby. I haven't had a full meal there yet, but I have been inside and I did spend Galactic Nights there. I will say, and I'll say it on behalf of the live show viewers that did vote for Olivia's. So one vote for Olivia's is that it really is one of those places that has a huge, huge following for DVC members.
Nice. Okay, Morgan.
I have not been to Olivia's. I've been to Brown Derby. Olivia's is on my list, but I went Brown Derby. The ambiance, I guess, for lack of a better word, in Brown Derby is just too beautiful not to vote for. That's why I went Brown Derby.
Nice. excuse me. Now, Jimmy, he went for the Brown Derby, so looks like we have a winner there. I also went for the Brown Derby. Gotta love the Cobb salad they have in that place.
It is great, Ed, and yeah. I will go with Brown Derby as well, and so does the website with 77%.
Yeah, overwhelming.
So, Hollywood Brown Derby, moving on. I've not been to Olivia's. I'm going to put it on my list, but quite honestly, I don't get over there that often.
Well, that's a tough part.
I am DVC. It's not my home resort, but and I can understand the following, and I think the fact that it got to the second round is pretty cool.
Okay, guys, moving on. And we have a nice little matchup here of different parts of the world. The first restaurant we have is Mama Melrose's over at Hollywood Studios. And they are against the Yak and Yeti from Asia over in the Animal Kingdom. We're going to start with Morgan on this one.
I have done both. But I went Yak and Yeti. The food is awesome. But, yeah, I know Mama Melrose is a favorite with the co-host here. But, yeah, love me some Yak and Yeti.
Nice. Okay. Now, Jimmy went with Mama Melrose. I know he's a big fan for that place over there. And I don't know if I heard it on the show or if I heard it somewhere else. The story behind Mama Melrose's where it is an Italian place in Hollywood where all the starving actors and actresses went to eat as they're trying to audition for jobs and stuff like that. I thought that was a cool little kind of nice reality touch. I went for Yakiniti, though. otherwise, I really do like the Yakiniti. And again, the Italian food, as far as the parks go and things like that, to me, are sometimes great, sometimes not so great. So I think I'd rather go Yakiniti. Okay, Sam, how did their internet friends, what did they say?
Our internet friends kept this one pretty close, and 55% went Yak and Yeti.
Okay, and yourself?
So you can flip a coin, and I will go to either one of these restaurants, and I will love either one of these restaurants. In fact, my last trip into Mama Melrose, they handed me, which I will scan and make part of the show notes, a personalized sort of little pamphlet here that says, "Welcome back, Maricini family," which was kind of cool. Nice. And inside of it is Mama's Italian pasta recipe.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool, right? Thanks for coming back. Papa wanted to share his recipe. You
pasta
know, one
or
of the
sauce?
Most treasured gifts.
You're part of the family now.
Exactly. And that's kind of cool. And as much as I love it, I'm going to go with the Yak and Yeti.
There's a lot of that going on.
I like how both of you did that. You're like, you know, talking Mama Melrose, how much you love it. Well, my vote's for Yak and Yeti.
Well,
I like how both you guys did that.
And I'll tell you why. I'm picking Yak and Yeti myself because I love the variety of that menu.
Mm-hmm.
It is all over the map, and there are so many good things to pick from that I that's why I'm going with it. So Yak and Yeti for me.
Very yeah. cool. Okay, Lisa and the live guys.
So this is really interesting. So first of all, for me, I haven't experienced Mama Melrose yet, but I have done Yak and Yeti, and I love Yak and Yeti. So my vote is for Yak and Yeti. But I love the comparison between the live show and the community, our internet friends, if you will. The live show, this was 100% Yak and Yeti.
Wow, overwhelming.
They did not have a single vote for Mama Melrose.
Yeah, I want to see how they do for the other Italian restaurants as we go along, see if that's a theme. Very cool. Very cool. And Yak and Yeti moves on to the next round. And they definitely belong there. I can't wait for this next round coming up, too. That's going to be tough. But the next match for tonight, though, is the Sci-Fi Diner, or Dine-In, versus the Paddlefish Restaurant. And to start this one out, it's actually going to be Jimmy. And Jimmy says the Sci-Fi Dine-In, and I agree with him also. Love the atmosphere. The food's probably not the best on entire property, but they do have some pretty specific stuff there, and that kind of fits with the entire like movie and the cars and everything else going on. So both of us for Sci-Fi. And Sam?
I, you know, as much as the Sci-Fi keeps changing their menu on me and taking things off that I really like, I am also going to go with the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater. And our website listeners, 92% are Sci-Fi.
Nice. Nice. Okay, Lisa, you're up.
So for me, and I feel like this is, I'm going to be a woman on an island right now, but that's okay. I'll take it. I'm going to go with Paddlefish. This was one of these decisions where I had to choose not so much with which one I liked the most because I haven't quite experienced Paddlefish yet, but more so, would I want to go to Paddlefish over Enduring Sci-Fi? And I've had some pretty bad experiences at Sci-Fi. So, and then the live show viewers totally disagreed with me. They went right, they went with Sci-Fi, and rightfully so.
Well, they were lucky enough they didn't have those bad experiences. So that's
correct.
What it is. And we
it comes down to that sometimes.
And we always say that. It's a matter of the day of the week, the staff, the food that they got delivered into the restaurant. You never know what it is that might give you a bad experience that time. Always a good shot to try it one more time. However, there are a couple restaurants that will not survive that test. So, you know, you have to try it. Okay, guys, so the Sci-Fi moves on to the next round, and that was the Hollywood Studios bracket. Nice.
All right, moving on to the Epcot bracket. We have the number one seeded Wine Bar George versus Via Napoli over in Epcot. I'm going to start with Lisa or the live show. You pick whichever.
Well, going on stream here, we went, well, I went with Via Napoli. I cannot turn down some pizza. And then the live show was right there with me with a clean sweep.
A clean sweep from the live show for Via Napoli. Nice. Morgan.
I went with Lisa in the live show, and I went Via Napoli. Give me pizza over wine any day.
I think you get wine
together. You can go together.
That's a whole other story. Ed.
I'm not getting wine either, Willie's.
Okay. Jimmy went with the, Via Napoli, as did I.
And back to me. I'm going Via Napoli, but I will say, my last walk through Disney Springs, I did purposely swing by Wine Bar George, took a peek in, looked at their menu, and it looked really good. And the fact that it was number one seated coming into this means that the touringplan.com recent readers really liked it. So it's got to be on my list to try this place out. That said, our online voters are 90% Via Napoli. So I can say that that is our first sweep.
Sweep, 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 sweep.
There you go. Very good. Very good.
Which, but I do want to try Wine by George. It looks like it's worth it, by all means. And that could be a favorite coming up soon, I'm sure.
Oh, sure. No doubt. Unfortunately, when you do a matchup like this, though, and you had to choose, if I wanted to eat at one of these two places and that's my choice, which one?
So, Via Napoli. Yeah, I do like it.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. Our next matchup is Whispering Canyon and the Boathouse. Morgan.
I have not done Boathouse, but I know it's such a huge popular choice. I again with strategy went Boathouse, but Whispering Canyon is just like 50s. If you get the right server, Whispering Canyon is awesome.
So where's your vote?
My vote is Boathouse.
Boathouse, okay.
I went strategy.
I heard you talking. You were talking great about both, and I'm like, well, which one's she picking? All right, Ed.
Okay, so now this is another one of those matches where I haven't been to either one. And basically, I've heard some bad things now about Whispering Canyon the last couple of times, even last week, actually, to be honest with you. So I'm going to take the Boathouse because I know that's going to be good food. Everything I've read and seen about that has been great about it. So I'm going to try the Boathouse. And Jimmy agrees. He's going to go there too.
All right. From my point of view, I don't think anybody's going to question when I pick the Boathouse here. That's right. Why. Although I've never been to Whispering Canyon. I had heard good things about it. Then I also heard that they changed it a little bit as far as some of the activities that happen over there. The website, really close here, 54%. They also went with the Boathouse. So, Lisa, it's a formality at this point because I think the Boathouse is moving on. But what do you guys have?
I do have the Boathouse as well for my vote, and it's interesting. They went 54% online because the live show went 52% to the Boathouse.
That's another sweep. Ooh. That's two sweeps in a row.
Wow.
Let's see if we continue with that, and maybe we will. I'm not sure because this is the other interesting one I talked about. Be Our Guest Restaurant, which was an 11 seed, mm-hmm. versus the number 3 seed, Teppanito. And I think I'm starting with me on this one. In fact, I'm not going to start with me. I am going to start with the website, 81%, the Be Our Guest Restaurant. So the website is Be Our Guest for certain. Now, I did not vote for Be Our Guest in the first round because it was up against Liberty Tree Tavern, and I'm absolutely Liberty Tree. But since this is the second round and we get to reevaluate what's happening here, I am going to go with Be Our Guest over Teppanito. Teppanito, again, comes down to the server that you're going to get and the type of show that you get in the dining there.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I do remember hearing when I listened to last week's show was that Be Our Guest, we were really talking only the dinner menu as opposed to the lunch menu and the dinner menu. So we were trying to keep that in mind to treat it more like some of the other sit-down restaurants.
All right. So, Lisa.
Alrighty, so for me, I went with the bang for my buck, I guess, is what I would call it. And I went with Teppanito. I do enjoy that hibachi environment.
And if you get the right person, it's amazing.
It's really, really good.
You know, I
find that Be Our Guest is a little bit overpriced, and maybe I shouldn't feel that way because of the experience, but I kind of do.
When you can get, when it's selling out and it continues to attract people and you got to get that 180 days out, you know why it's that way, right?
That's right. And then for our live show viewers, it was like 62% went with Be Our Guest.
So you picked Tepanito, correct?
I did.
Okay. All right, Morgan.
I've been to both. I chose Be Our Guest. Tepanito, even though it is great food, for the same reason that, you know, I didn't choose it last time, I can get Tepanito at home. To an extent. You know, like the type of food.
Benihana, sure.
Yeah, you can't eat in the Beast Castle around the corner from your house unless you're local. No.
And see him walk by once in a while.
Yeah.
And perhaps see his flower fall apart, and there's so many things to see in there.
which to my understanding, the dinner at Be Our Guest, there is a character meet and greet with the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
It's your pitcher on the way out. So as you're exiting, he's sitting in the big thing. So that it's not your traditional character meal where they're walking around taking pictures. This is just as you're leaving, you can take a photo as you're walking out. So yeah, it's in there, but I wouldn't consider it a traditional character meal like the others, right? So that's why we included it here.
Yeah, and I've only done Be Our Guest for lunch, but I mean, still, either way.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Be Our Guest is a great experience.
I agree.
So that's your pick there, Ed, because you were up.
Oh, geez, I misspoke. No, I do. Be Our Guest is my choice also. It's the experience. I tell you what, the menu isn't even really that French. It's got some French items on that, but it's not as French as, say, like the restaurants over at Epcot are and things like that. But it's got the great atmosphere that we love. We've been there three different times for dinner and have had a great experience each time. Service has been awesome. The cool dessert cart comes around at the end where you get the gray stuff. Now, that has changed. In the beginning, you can ask for the gray stuff, and the server would just bring it for, you know, you to try out. Now it's a matter of, well, you can get the gray stuff as one of your three cupcakes or whatever the little dessert things are.
The master's cupcake.
Correct. With the gray stuff. And the place itself is pretty phenomenal, and you're looking around as you're eating, and it's a fun time. I have a really good time there. Jimmy, I went with Tepanito.
So Be Our Guest moves on. I will say, and Morgan, you mentioned it, right? You can go around the corner and get the hibachi style. But what you won't get around the corner is the onions in a Mickey Mouse formation, which I think is awesome.
True.
I bet if I paid my guy like $5 at least, you know,
copyright
my guy around the corner, we'll do a Mickey shape out of onions.
You'll see a lawyer show up the next morning.
But that's probably the one thing I remember most about doing this, and my kids remember that. I'm like, oh yeah, he made the Mickey Mouse out. And even when we go hibachi locally, they'll mention that. Oh, you remember when the guy made the Mickey Mouse out of the onions?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. One of those memories. All right, moving on. We are going to go with the number 10 seated Kona Cafe versus the number 2 seated Beaches and Cream. And I think this starts with me. Actually, I'm going to let us start with our website, which is 52%. So this is pretty close. Beaches and Cream. And there is absolutely no way I'm not picking Beaches and Cream. From a No Way Jose to the hamburger that I think is absolutely amazing, I'm going to be at Beaches and Cream. I'm only upset that when I'm there next week, it will be closed because it's getting bigger and taking over the old arcade over there at the Yacht Club. But that's a whole nother story. Lisa, what's the website or what's the live show and yourself think?
The live show went right along with you with Beaches and Cream, but 83% of the vote. And I am sadly devastated in the Kona corner.
It's not a bad place to be, though.
It's one of our favorite restaurants on property, and it's got extreme sentimental value.
Understood. And you can't account for that in a bracket like this, right?
Right.
Morgan.
This was another tough one for me because I actually love both these places. But I went Kona because that's the place I've been to last, and I'm still dreaming about some Tonga toast.
Nice.
Got it. So, Ed, we're 3-2 with you and Jimmy coming, so you guys could take this either way.
Okay. I'm going to go – let's say Jimmy first. Jimmy's going to go with the Kona Cafe. He picked that.
Ooh, and I see what you did there. You made this a tiebreaker that falls to you.
Oh, I actually lost track of where we were. I didn't realize that.
So we are right now – 3-3, and you have the tiebreaker. You are going to determine if the Kona Cafe or Beaches and Cream makes it to the Sweet 16.
No pressure.
This is great. No pressure at all. This is awesome. The Kona Cafe will be making it to the next round.
It is
one of my favorites. It's got one of the best steaks on property that I've ever had been at the Kona Cafe, which is kind of wild because it really is a little like diner place right off of the monorail. And but it's great, and it's wide open to the lobby, and it's on the upper level. But yeah, the food there is really, really good. There's a lot of things they have.
So based on all of that, I will be at the counter at Beaches and Cream with my No Way Jose. Just leave me alone. I'll be fine. But I'm also going to say, based on those comments, that I'm intrigued by the steak, and I'm putting Kona Cafe on my list to visit because I've not been there.
Right. And throw one more point into the corner for Kona is that it's on the monorail from the Magic Kingdom. So it counts as a sit-down in my eyes for the Magic Kingdom also.
And so many people, I think, just think of Kona for breakfast. So, I mean, Ed brings up a good point that it's not just a place for breakfast. I've done lunch there, and the food's great. And Sam, don't feel bad. If you want to hold off on your No Way Jose, I'll meet you at Beaches and Cream after Kona, and we'll do the kitchen sink. We'll all go right. Big time.
I can't. There is somewhere, and hopefully, Jimmy, I hope that you're listening right now, because there is a kitchen sink in our future, and I can never get him out of World Showcase down International Gateway to get one, because we are going to get one, and we're going to do a video, and it's going to be us eating a kitchen sink. That's a whole other story.
Please, please let me be there.
Absolutely.
I've done it twice. I can coach you.
we're putting it on the list of activities, Ed, for the next meet. And with
there
that,
you go.
Would you like to take the Animal Kingdom bracket?
Yep. Let's move on to the last bracket as we move to the end of the second round here. And we're going to start out with California Grill versus the Beer Garden. Two very, very different restaurants. And we're going to start this one out actually with Jimmy. He's going to get a pick right away first, and he's taking the Beer Garden right off the bat. He was telling me he loves the entertainment in there, and the smorgasbord is great, and you just get unlimited amounts of food. Saying that, I canceled his vote with going to the California Grill. I've never been to either place. And if I had to take that pick of the one I wanted to go to, if I couldn't go to both, I'm going to pick the California Grill. Next, we're going to go with the internet. What did our friends out there say, Sam?
Our friends online, 72%, are going to be watching fireworks at the California Grill.
Nice.
Save my seat, Ed.
And how about you, Sam? Are you sitting with them too?
I'm also going to go California Grill. Beer Garden's awesome. One of the things, you know, anytime you get a buffet and all you can eat, World Showcase, it just seems like so much food. but the view, you cannot discount the view at the California Grill. It's just amazing. Whether you're there for fireworks or not, just having dinner, it's beautiful to watch the activities happening.
Right. Okay. So we're going to go to Lisa next.
So for the live show, they went with Beer Garden with 52% of the vote. That was a close one.
Close. It was very close.
And then for me, this is
have to ask?
No, we don't.
You don't even need to. This is like asking Sam if he'd go to the boathouse or anywhere else.
Beer Garden, me, right?
Definitely California.
Very cool. Very
so
cool.
Where are we at?
We have 4-2, so kind of superficial, but you're up, Morgan.
I went Beer Garden. Oi, oi, oi.
Oh, okay. California Grill moves on, but that's a close one. That was a 4-3 vote.
Yep. Very good. Very good. Okay, so moving on to the next game, we have the Boat Rights Dining Hall versus the San Angel Inn Restaurant. So the San Angel, that's the one inside, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Gotcha. And we're going to start this one with Lisa.
So I went with the San Angel Inn. I do love Boat Rights. I've done both of these, but for me, this was atmosphere and food. And I really, really like San Angel Inn over at the Mexico Pavilion. And the live show viewers agree, San Angel Inn.
Nice. How about you, Morgan?
I have done San Angel, but I did not have a good experience. I have not done Boat Rights, so I went Boat Rights.
There you go.
great steak at Boat Rides. Good prime rib.
Awesome. Okay. Excuse me. Jimmy went with the San Angelin, and I actually agreed with him. So I went with that place also. I actually had good experiences there. Sorry, Morgan. Moving on, Sam.
I'll go with the website first. Those guys also went to San Angel Inn, which puts it over the top. Actually, it was over the top before that. Yep. I'm going to throw my vote to Boat Rights, only because, to be honest with you, when I look at this entire bracket, this is probably the one where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go to either one of those. I'm going to find another spot. But if I needed to, I would put down Boat Rights because I've had reservations there before. I've never made it back. That's when I was staying at Riverside, and, you know, let's just have dinner when we go back to the room, and then you never get back to the room because you decide to do something else, and it's something that's been on my list, just never did it. But right. San Angel Inn moves on.
Okay, nice, nice. Next game is going to be Narcoossee's over at the Grand Floridian down there on the water versus Epcot's famous Rose and Crown. And we're going to have Morgan start this one.
I actually did not think Narcoossee's was going to make it.
It was up against Restaurant Marrakesh. How could it not make it in the first round?
I figured more people would vote Marrakesh, you know. Plus, that's where I had been. But either way, I went Rose and Crown because I like Rose and Crown. It's just a good place. Beer, dining hall, wherever. Give me Rose and Crown.
Yeah, you need no reason more than that. Okay, it's going to be Jimmy going next, and he actually agrees with you, Morgan, fully. He took Rose and Crown for all the reasons
still
you said.
Still at the bar. Come on. Get out of there.
He's down, have dinner. Yeah, he's trying to get Carl to bring him his Carl's combo in the dining room.
Very cool. I chose Narcoossee's. I consider that like Florida fare, but really high-quality Florida fare. You know, you'll get a lot of great seafood, a lot of steaks. I had my first taste of alligator there, and it was not that bad.
Alligator isn't that bad. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Tastes like chicken.
Tastes just like – and actually, that is not far off. It was pretty good.
Because it's not.
Uh-huh. Okay, Sam, you're up.
I am up. Website, 61% Rose and Crown. So Rose and Crown for the website, and I'm also going to say Rose and Crown. I just love that atmosphere right there down by the water. Whether you're preparing for Illuminations or not, it's just a great spot to be in.
So are we voting Rose and Crown for the bar side or the dining side? Because
dining side, absolutely.
Okay, very good.
Absolutely. And in fact, last week,
all of the above.
Jimmy wants to do a bar bracket at some point, which we may be able to do because that would open up a whole lot of other things. But for this is the sit-down dining.
Oh, I want to see the counter service next. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
You thought narrowing down restaurants was bad? You really want to narrow down bars on property?
It's tougher.
Hey, let's get through this year. Let's get through this year.
He's gonna vote the screen whatever there over at All-Star Movies.
All right, keep going.
Okay, I believe Lisa, you're up.
Yes, so I went with Rose and Crown. No, not the bar. Yes, the restaurant.
Yep.
I do love the bangers and mash in there, and I don't necessarily do the fish and chips because I can get it at the Yorkshire Fish Company, but I do love Rose and Crown. And not a crazy big surprise, Rose and Crown with 100% of the vote from the live show.
Nice, 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 nice. Rose and Crown moves on. Very cool. We're getting close to the end here. And we were going to start off with La Hacienda de San Angel versus the Chef Art Smith Homecoming.
That was a number two seed, and that's a new one. So this is another one that between Wine Bar George and Chef Art Smith's Homecoming, man, it's getting lots of love.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Right. We're going to start this one with our internet friends.
Internet friends, overwhelmingly, 78% Homecoming.
How about that? Absolutely. How about you?
I'm going to vote the same way because it's what I want to experience and I haven't been able to. And I think the whole concept of moonshine might have gotten me there, but it just looks like the down-home cooking and I want to try it. I have been to La Hacienda, another wonderful view for Illuminations, right down there at the side of the water. It's a great spot, but I'm going to go with Homecoming.
Okay, very good. Lisa, you're up.
I went with Homecoming as well. I've experienced that restaurant. It was very, very good. And then the live show, 70% of the vote, Homecoming.
Nice. Okay, Morgan.
Oh, like you have to ask.
Morgan is drinking out of her refillable mason jar right now.
I'm not tonight, but and it's not even so much the moonshine, which is awesome, and the refillable mug, which is just awesome on top of awesome. But fried chicken, deviled eggs, mashed potatoes, like good Southern Florida cooking.
Homecoming.
That's just an awesome on awesome on awesome. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have good dreams of homecoming tonight.
There you go. Nice. And that puts it over. And Jimmy and I have our choices, which happen to be La Hacienda, which does not matter. And Homecoming moves on to the next round.
Homecoming moves on. And we have our Sweet 16, Victorian Alberts, The Plaza, Le Cellier, Raglan Road, Yachtsman Steakhouse, Brown Derby, Yak and Yeti, Sci-Fi, Via Napoli, The Boathouse, Be Our Guest, Kona, California Grill, San Angel Inn, Rose and Crown, and Chef Art Smith's Homecoming. Any one of those could potentially be the winner of Dining Madness, and it all starts with the Sweet 16 round. Remember, head out to DisneyMadness.com. That's going to get you to the website where you can do the voting. Hopefully you can make it for the Sweet 16 round. If not, vote in whatever round's out there. And thank you guys for following along.
Very cool. Thank you all. And if you want to comment or give us any information, want to ask questions, want just to get in touch with us, just send us an email. Get in touch with us on our social media pages. You know, and in fact, Jimmy, come on over here and tell us how you can get in touch with the show.
Yeah, come on for World Showcase.
Get off the planter, Jimmy.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
That was good.
So before we get wrapped up here, I just want to go over one quick thing, and that is our bracket challenge. I did get many entries for the bracket challenge, and I just wanted to go over after the first
round. So explain what that is real quick, Lisa, for those that don't know.
So before we started, or really before we completed round one, we popped out onto our social media page a bracket for people to fill out and send in to win a Disney Nerds Podcast prize pack. So last year was the first year we did this, and our friend Mike Nakoff won a Haunted Mansion prize pack for the Haunted Mansion winner for our Attraction Madness. So this year for the Disney Dining Madness, I did get quite a few brackets turned in, and I just wanted to go over the top three after round one. Number one, with getting 29 out of the 32 matchups right, was Brandon.
Wow. Nice job, because I couldn't get that many right.
And then Angela got 28 out of the top 32, and then Brittany 27. So it's actually a fairly close matchup.
And we're giving a free meal to wherever they want to go. What was the prize for this one this year?
We haven't decided yet. We didn't decide until the very end last time. So,
well, you tied it in nicely to the winner, so who knows? Let's see how this thing goes.
Very good.
That's right.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 279 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thanks for listening. And we definitely want you to tune in next week for the Sweet 16 of the Disney Restaurant Madness. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Have a great night, y'all. Hakuna Matata.
So long, everybody.
Kongaloosh!
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace. The haunting's free, so hurry back, we would like your company.
Hurry back, hurry back.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, guys, that's it for show number 279 of the Disney Network. Oh, shit.
Avoid the Noid, Ed. Avoid the Noid.
Okay, guys.
Did you get into the moonshine?
I actually ran out about 20 minutes ago.